Today on the broadcast, I'm going to go back to verse 7 in John chapter 10 and read several verses, and we'll move right along. I have already preached from verse 7 and also down into verse 8, but I'm going to reread them and then move right on with these scriptures today. I hope you have your Bible open and hope that you've been able to be with us all week. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So there's only one door, and that's Jesus, the door, and only the sheep have gone through that door. Only the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, have entered in through that door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Anybody that has come before me with any other statement saying they are the door, or they have the way, or God has spoken to them, they're thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The true sheep of God did not hear them. I am the door, he says again, repeating it. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I like that term, saved. I like that. In recent years, in some of the great evangelistic campaigns around the country, they've stopped using the word saved anymore. They don't use that. They use the word commitment or decision, and words that seemingly are supposed to be more religiously correct in a wicked society in which we live. But I like the word saved. That means that I was once lost, but now I'm saved. That means that I was on my road to hell, but now I'm on my road to heaven. I'm saved. That means that I was in iniquity and sin and bent to sin, but now I have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saved from the clutches of hell. I'm saved from the clutches of the devil. I like that word, saved. I hope you'll be able to say, or are able to say today, I am saved, and I know that I am saved. Someone comes up then, well, in this generation, you know, people may not understand that word. And so we use words that they understand more in this generation. Well, if they don't understand the word saved, then that gives you a good chance to explain what salvation really is. It opens a door that no other word will open. You say, well, you know, people need to make the right decision. Well, people make decisions all along, and people make promises and all kinds of things. But if you want to be saved, you're going to have to be saved the Lord's way through Jesus Christ, who is the door. Now, we move on, and he says in verse 11, well, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's the false teachers and the false prophets and those who deny God. They've come to steal and to destroy. They've come to tear down anything that is good and righteous. They've come to steal any earthly possessions that you have. They'll get it one way or another in order that they might have it for themselves. They are greedy. He is saying, "I am come," Jesus said, "that they might have life." Jesus wants to give us life. Satan can only offer you death. You say, "Oh, preacher, I've heard that all my life, and I'm not so sure about that." Well, I'll tell you one way to find out. You just surrender yourself to him, and you'll see what real life is. You'll find out that partying on Saturday night and then getting up with a headache on Sunday morning is not real life. You'll find out that having great possessions and having money in your pocket and having power because you've got money and prestige and you think you're sitting on top of the world, and then you let some tragedy happen to you, then you'll realize what it means to be saved and what real life is. The devil doesn't have life to give to you. He can give you a thrill. He can give you a little bit of fun at a moment's time. He can give you fame. He can give you prosperity. He can give you fortune. He can give you a lot of things, but he cannot give you real life. Only Jesus Christ can give that life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Not just life, but abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if Jesus promises us abundant life, then we certainly ought to be living an abundant life. You say, "Well, preacher, what are you getting at now?" I'm saying that if you are a born-again child of God, there's no reason for you to go around with your head hanging down. There's no reason for you to apologize for being a Christian. We've got some folks today who claim to be Christians, but then when they get in the trouble or with an adversary somewhere, they act as if they're ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and ashamed that they're a Christian. No, that's not real life. Jesus wants you to have abundant life. Oh yes, you can have that if you're flat of your back paralyzed. You can have abundant life of Christ, the joy of the Lord flooding your soul. And that's what Jesus wants. That's what God wants for you, abundant life. Not just barely get in the door. That's the most stupid thing I think I've ever heard in all of my ministry, is to hear somebody say, well, all I want to do is just get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't care about rewards, and I don't care about the smile of God. I don't care about any of that. Just as long as I can use Jesus as a fire escape and get into heaven by the skin of my teeth, that's what I want. That is the most stupid statement I think I've ever heard. And if it's not right to use that word stupid, you please forgive me, but that's exactly what I think it is. It is a terrible, horrible, awful, ridiculous statement to say, I just want to get in by the skin of my teeth. Frankly, if you have that idea, you're not going to make it in. For salvation requires that you give your life completely and your heart and yourself completely into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn your eternal destiny over to Him, and He will give you life, and then He will give you abundant life. And that's what God wants us to have, abundant life. In the midst of sorrow, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of disappointment, we can have that abundant life in Him. All right, now he says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Well, here you have your religious leaders who have denied the truth of the Word of God and who have made a big splash in the religious world, and then when the wolf comes, they'll run and leave you. They'll leave you just as surely as the Bible is the Word of God. When the hard times come, you won't find them anywhere. I'm personally aware of some of the religious leaders of my day who was supposed to be great healers of the sick. When they were asked to go to a home to a person who could not get to the meeting, could not make a show of them, they could not get to the meeting. They pled with him, pastors pled with him to go visit this lady, and he refused to come. He didn't have time, but in the very same week, he was able to go to a banquet and receive a brand new automobile that was given to him by one of the organizations in that town. Now, that's what the hireling is. He don't care a thing about you. All he wants is the money or the prestige that he can get by having you in his corner. And it scatters the sheep. And he is a hireling. And I want you to know today, you'd better beware of the hireling and give your faith and all of your hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can save you, truly the door into salvation.